Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everyone? It's been a long time since we've last recorded a Caps Face-Off podcast, but the team is back on the ice at what was formerly known as Kettler Capitals Iceplex, now MedStar Capitals Iceplex. So the season is almost upon us. I'm Rob Carlin, along with J.J. Regan. We were both out there today with the team. I spoke with Matt Niskanen. We're going to hear that interview in just a couple of minutes. We spoke a little bit with Brooks Orpik afterwards. J.J., it was just awesome after this incredibly fun summer of watching from afar everyone's day with the Cup and experiencing this all sort of together. Like, the whole Caps Nation has really experienced this all together. But we were joking as we left the complex today. It's like, all right, let's go. Let's get back at this. It's time. We're ready. We saw Ovi on the ice in Florida, but to see him and Backstrom and Niskanen and Orpik and Kuzi and Holtby and Carlson, it does start feeling like it's upon us.
It definitely does. First, I'm going to have to get used to calling it MedStar Iceplex instead of Kettler. I'm so used to just referring to it as Kettler.
Well, someone joked, and I think I've said this before, someone joked with it, MedStar Capitals Iceplex, it's the MCI Center now, which is really funny.
Yeah, there you go. But you're absolutely right. It's time to get going. I know the offseason has been incredibly short, and everyone loves summer, and I wish there were a few more weeks of summer. But to see all the players back on the ice, it's informal workouts, but you see them on the ice and you're just going, all right, let's go. Let's suit up. Let's get into the games already. You know, we haven't even started with the preseason yet, but you feel that excitement. It's palpable. The players feel it. They're having fun out there in the informal workouts, which nobody ever has fun in Camp Nemo. clearly they're having fun with each other. There's definitely that sense of let's get this going. There's excitement already to come back and repeat as champions.
Yeah, and that's, you know, like the hangover that we all have been talking about. And I thought we recorded, Al Kokin and I recorded a sort of a Caps season preview a couple of weeks ago for TV. And he really put it to me in the best way. He was like, last year's hangover was substantially worse than the actual quote unquote hangover this year, because last year's hangover lingered. The loss to Pittsburgh lingered. It affected the room. It affected the coaching staff. They came out of the season flat. Most of the lowest points were still as a result of that hangover. These guys just partied for, you know, 3 straight months. I mean, these are professional athletes. They'll bounce back like every other team that's won a cup will bounce back. And like Brooks Orpik was saying, we weren't any worse than any other team that's ever celebrated with a cup. So having said that, to see them out on the ice, to see Ovi back here, to see Backstrom out, to see all the core guys here early on time, ready to go and practicing is very encouraging, and it makes you want that season to start even more.
Yeah, it definitely does. That's a good point by Al Kokin that they already had a hangover last year. I can't possibly be worse than what they suffered last year when they were trying to get things going last year. I think it's just going to be a little bit physical. You know, these guys are used to a routine. They're used to their off-season training. They're used to having a specific amount of time. Well, they went longer than they've ever gone. They still wanted to get their break, but they had to shove their off-season training in there. You know, a guy like Brooks Orpik, who takes phenomenal care of himself, which is why he's been able to play as long as he has and have a career as long as he has, that's probably going to affect him a little bit, a guy like him, because he hasn't had as much time to prepare as he would have in normal years. That off-season training schedule that he's used to, that he's laid out. So it may be... I don't think it's going to be as much mental, because there's nobody who wants to do this again more than the Capitals. They had just had a gigantic party. Of course they want to do that again. It may just be getting up the game speed a little bit. And that will probably be the biggest issue for them. But it's not going to be like it was last year. I wouldn't expect at all.
No. And that addictive feeling of wanting to do that again. And in my head, I guess I've just always thought, like, when they brought in Niskanen and Orpik, they were bringing in these two guys with cup backgrounds. And I forget that Niskanen didn't win a cup with Pittsburgh. So right. He's just experiencing this for his first time, too. But, and we'll hear this interview in a minute, I could see or sense the look in his eye and talking with him that he's not content having just won the cup. Like, he really enjoyed this and really wants to do this again. This is not like, oh man, I fulfilled my dream and whatever happens here on out is like, he is ready to make another run at that and feed that addiction of that feeling of winning a cup and being a champion and getting to the point that every kid dreams about.
On breakdown day, at the end of the season every year, Matt Niskanen is always a very thoughtful answer. He is every time you talk to him. But from breakdown day, it's clear there is nobody in that locker room who takes a loss harder than Matt Niskanen. And he looked like the last 2 years against Pittsburgh, he looked like he was on the verge of tears when we talked to him on breakdown day. So, as you would expect, no one took this win. No one was as happy about this win as Niskanen was. Nobody wants to do that again more than Matt Niskanen. He's such a thoughtful player. So, yeah, it makes perfect sense that as hard as he took those losses, that's how much this win meant to him. It wasn't. I think he's a guy. Ovechkin loves to win. I think Matt Niskanen hates to lose.
Yeah.
Everybody hates to lose, but I think Matt Niskanen hates to lose. And you can see it. He's someone who wears his heart on his sleeve, and you can tell. He hates to lose. He's someone who's going to play it over in his head every time, everything he could have done differently, every mistake he personally made. He's the kind of guy who's going to analyze what went wrong. And so it really affects him when he loses.
Yeah, and as you'll hear now, what he really appreciated about this whole thing was the journey to get there. And he's going to mention that here and how this team really came together more uniquely than anything we've ever seen with the Caps, obviously, as they win the Cup. But let's listen in. It's Matt Niskanen as the Caps get ready for training camp to open and a chance to defend their title.
Now the Caps with Niskanen, a puck down low to Spinpelli. He scores! Devontae Spinpelli along the left post. Two goals in two games. Are you kidding me? It's 3-0 Washington!
Oh, you talk about everything going right for the Capitals right now. Good job by Matt Niskanen keeping that puck in. Just gets it towards the net. And the rebound goes right to Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Well, Matt, now that you've had time to soak it all in and you've answered the questions 1,000 times of what it was like when the buzzer went off, what were those second and a half or 2 seconds of that final face-off when you were just waiting? Is there anything in your mind saying nothing could ruin this now, or their hesitation? What was it like before that final face-off?
Well, it was hard not to start celebrating already. In my head, I wanted to make sure that we just took care of that draw, make sure they couldn't slap it towards the net and get something out of it. But it's hard to hold back your excitement at that point. So just another half a second of focus and then time for fun.
And the fun went and it went and it kept going. What was it like for all of you guys as you were talking and living this amazing thing together like that?
Yeah, it was really special to see guys just let loose and have a great time, and guys are telling stories and telling jokes and we're laughing, and there's a lot of good memories there for that about a week after we won, and extended it in the summer too. So
wait, so there are memories? You remember most of it, some of it, all of it?
All of it. It was fun. Everyone enjoyed it, as we should. It's a heck of an accomplishment. So we'll be telling stories about that that moment when we won, and then this summer for a long time.
It's the dream all of you guys have had since you could first put on skates. Was it beyond your wildest dreams, this whole experience?
It was. I think the ride to get there was so awesome. A few bumps in the road and how we rallied together. The tough moments, and you just battled through it, and we found a way to win anyways. And we got better and better as the playoffs went on. That's good stuff, boy. Something really to be proud of. We're a real team, and I'll always remember that feeling, and we'll try to replicate that again in the future here.
The captain went through a lot to get here, a lot of criticism over the years. The way he led that team and led the celebration, led all of it, did it feel like sort of vindication for one of the all-time greats? And were you, what was the feeling to be a part of that with him?
Yeah, Alex has been a top player in this league for over a decade now, and I think I've said this before, he's taken some heat in the past, so to watch him play so well all spring and play hard and care so much about it and get the payoff in the end, and it was fun to watch him celebrate. He deserved it. He earned it like we all did. We did it as a group, but he's been a big part of this organization for a long time, so he led the way on the ice, and he led the way off the ice, too.
He certainly did. Alan has said that that taste of winning, it gets addictive, and you want that feeling again. It's like a drug. Now that you've felt it, how badly do you want to replicate that, and does that drive the hunger to do this again?
Yeah, it sure does. There's nothing like the feeling of when that clock finally runs out and you're champions. So the whole ordeal is just fantastic. It's really hard to describe what's happening in your head and in your gut. So there's a hunger for it. It burns in you that you, man, that'd be fun to do that again. And sure beats the hell out of losing.
Well said. Last question for you. What do you anticipate October 3rd to be like when you watch that banner get raised to the roof?
It's going to be fun. You know, we won all four series on the road. So it'll be kind of a nice end to the Stanley Cup season here. Kind of put the, close the door on that one. So, but it'll be a nice little celebration before we start this next journey. And happy that, you know, the fans will be a part of that in our rink, you know, with most of the team coming back too. And it'll be a fun night. And then it's turn the page and get ready for the next one.
So there's Matt Niskanen, and I joked with him at one point saying, because he said, what great memories. And I said, are there memories? Do you remember a lot there? And he giggled, and he looked at me and he goes, I remember everything. It may be blurry at times, but that was really an experience that these guys will cherish and talk about for the rest of their lives. So now we kind of quickly turn the page to this upcoming season. Camp starts in less than 2 weeks. The 14th is media day. The 16th, that Sunday, they're playing a game, which is so crazy to me that they literally show up in camp and 2 days later they're playing preseason games. So I was talking with Tom Gliddy, NHL.com, out of practice. Over under, if I put the over under line at 66.5 for games played by Brooks Orpik this year, you taking the over or the under?
Oh, that's about right where it should be. I guess I'll go under because there's going to be, I think there's incentive for them to have Bowie and Juice in the lineup more than there's incentive to have Brooks in, especially without that cap hit. There's not as much pressure. Oh, we got to get that guy who's making all that money into the lineup. So I'm going to go under, but I think it's going to be right in that 60 to 65 game range.
That, and me too. But then again, I would have never thought 82 games last year. If you would have said, I'll put the number at 81.5, I would have bet the mortgage that he would have played less, but yet they never took him off the ice. Now, that could also be the Barry Trotz effect compared to maybe the Todd Reirden effect, because we know Trotz trusted his guys, and the guys he didn't necessarily trust or hadn't earned his trust, he a very short leash on those guys, and he trusted Brooks Orpik that despite whatever mistakes the fans think they saw or swear that they saw, he trusted that Brooks Orpik would make amends for it. And ultimately, with the playoff run, Trotz was right.
Right. Yeah, you can't really argue with Trotz considering how things turned out. Plus, you know, Brooks Orpik had that game-winning goal.
He who did. Stanley Cup final game-winning goal in history.
Right, but we don't ultimately know what kind of coach Todd Reirden will be. But I think knowing his personality and knowing him as a player's coach, I think he'll be a bit more forgiving of the mistakes from the younger guys than a guy like Barry Trotz was.
Andre Burakovsky ends up top six, top nine, or another disappointing season?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say
this is a tough one.
This is a tough one, especially because
talent for top six has earned a spot in top nine, and also wouldn't be shocked if he plays his way out of the lineup.
I'm going to say he finishes in the top six. He'll play most of the season in the top nine. I think a guy like Jacob Vrana, who I think has a higher ceiling but is a bit more inconsistent, I think Burakovsky is going to pass him at some point this season and end up in the top six. So that would be my guess there.
Interesting, because I thought watching that season develop, obviously Burakovsky has the 2-goal game against Tampa. And that's what we all remember. But I thought Vrana's development all the way, 200 feet, was better than Burakovsky's. I thought the defensive, the desire to play defense and get back, Vrana was better than Burakovsky all year. So I'm curious to see where he, what his next level is. Burakovsky, we know, there's a huge jump to be made because there has to be. I mean, he's bottomed out a couple of times now. I don't know what the jump for Vrana is compared to the jump for Burakovsky, and that's going to be the ultimate decider, I guess.
Yeah, with Burakovsky, it's all mental. You know, we know he has the skills. Plus, there is a little bit of an injury concern there. He seems to keep breaking his hands. But it is mostly mental with him. The thing with Vrana, there was a motivational issue a little bit in Hershey because he was ready for the NHL and everybody knew it. So I wonder, you know, sometimes with these young guys, when you get that team success early on, all of a sudden they think they're going to be there every year. So I wonder what the regular season is going to be like for a guy like Vrana. We saw what he can do when he's 100%, which he was in the playoffs, going 100% at all times, both ends of the ice. You know, come that mid-January stretch where everyone's going, oh my gosh, how much more of this season? I wonder where a guy like Vrana is going to be at that point.
And then I guess the last thing, we both expect Travis Boyd to be the fourth line center?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You bring a guy like that, you sign him to a one-way deal. It's clear what the organization is thinking. There's some familiarity there with Todd Reirden. Yes, the only thing that shakes up the plans, and it's not going to shake up center, but there's going to be a trickle-down effect on the roster, is if Sergei Shumakov, where he fits into the roster and what that trickle-down effect is, who gets shuffled, that can change things. You know, you see, if you plug a guy into the second line, it affects the third and the fourth, and things get shuffled. If you plug a guy in the third line, and we don't ultimately know if Shumakov is going to be top six, if he's going to make the NHL team, if he's going to be in Hershey, but I think that's the one wrinkle. When beforehand, we could write down this lineup in pen. We basically knew what it was going to be. That's the one wrinkle where we don't know what the shakeup is ultimately going to be.
And thus ends the intrigue for the Caps preseason.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's it. And the Shumakov thing just developed. There's just not a lot of intrigue other than how do they respond to having the bullseye on their back now. And honestly, they've had a bullseye on their back for years. So,
yeah,
without being the champs. But they've been a game that everyone gets up for 10 years now.
Right. There have been a team that everyone views as Stanley Cup contenders. They just haven't had the Stanley Cup. Heck, they even had the Stanley Cup hangover last year.
Right.
Without the Stanley Cup. Now they have the Stanley Cup. So it should just be par for the course for these guys.
Can't wait for October 3rd, man. Absolutely cannot wait. What a day that's going to be. We're going to have coverage literally all day long. We're going to be at
all day
at morning skate that day from the MCI Center, the MedStar Capitals Iceplex. We're going to be out on F Street for the red carpet as the players arrive. We'll have a pregame show, our postgame show, NBC Sports Washington, your home for your Stanley Cup champs, and we can't wait. So we will be continuing to deep dive into all three of those intriguing camp storylines to watch.
Who will be the backup goalie?
Who will be the backup goalie? And how many games will Brooks Orpik play? All right, JJ, looking forward to it. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll do this again soon.
Sounds good. Anytime.
Right. For JJ Regan, I'm Rob Crum. We'll talk to you next time.